Okay, so we have the car payment, the rent, utilities,
and the repair bill.
What should we do?
I know. I'm going to CashNetUSA.com. I can apply in minutes, get an instant decision, and if approved, we could have the money in our account as soon as the same business day.
When you need money fast, be the hero. Go to CashNetUSA.com to apply for the money you need now. The exact timing as to when your loan funds will be available will be determined by your banking institution.
Let's get started in here.
It's been 5 weeks since Sam quit. Hopped on a horse and said, see ya, and I bet. 2 weeks to replace the temp. They said, we'll get someone in, it should happen real quick. 3 weeks since we realized this is going slow, only to Brett's surprise. Now here we are, it's coming to an end. Even though he's a Packers fan, we still like him. Hey, we used to call him Fake Sam, then there was no Sam, but he's covered like a Superman. His humor's switchy, takes no lip, although he likes to play the clips that you often hear right here on K-Fan. One time we joked about his hairline, but then we did fine. Balding's a touchy subject. Talkbacks make his head shake. He never did flake. No bad callers ever got through. Gonna make a break with his sports take. I mean, the dude is freaking great. He's not vanilla, even though he's from the Midwest. Gonna leave the show, he's gotta go, but we all know he's gonna grow, cause the news quiz is only for the best of the best. How can we help it when we laugh, cause your takes are bad? Sad to see you go, we really, really feel bad. Sam's boots are big to fill, but you handled it bigly. Even after the wild blew that playoff series. But you'll be back when we need another fill-in. Hope the new guy's collarbones are titanium.
It's been 5 weeks since Sam quit. Hopped on our horse and said, see ya, and I bet. 2 weeks to replace the temp. They said, we'll get someone in, it should happen real quick. 3 weeks since we realized this is going slow, only to Brett's surprise. Now here we are, it's coming to an end. Even though he's a Packers fan, we still like him.
Hour two of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. The Friday roundtable edition of Justice and Drew. Pleased to welcome in studio lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Hey, Temp. Hey, Temp, we'd like to hear Jeff.
Be good to hear his voice. The microphones don't work if they're not turned on. Hey,
show the new guy how to turn on the mics.
Just
you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah, there you right. go.
All Boy, right. the hey, Temp. That was brutal.
You know, he's only got a couple days left.
Oh, that was harsh. I'd like him still to be here for those couple days. You know,
we still like him.
Never would talk to Sam that way.
Well, Temp might have thicker skin. We'll find out.
I'd get real emotional.
That's a very great point.
Good job, Bray. State Representative Eric Lucero should be joining us any time now to fill out the roundtable. Be the fourth leg on the roundtable.
Good morning, Jeff O'Brien.
I'm good. Glad to be back.
Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, buddy.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. And again, haven't really gone through much yet this morning. The news yesterday, the Texas gunman walked unobstructed through a door in Uvalde, Texas, before the killing of the 19 children and two teachers. And again, you know, we continue to learn more about what's happening. And I'll repeat what I said last hour, and that is there is no need to rush to any conclusion on either side over the most pressing questions with regard to what happened. I think everybody's in agreement that something should be done about this. There's obviously, you know, disagreements over what should be done, but at the same time, it's kind of difficult to even land on exactly what, if anything, could prevent this from happening again, especially when you get news like this. The gunman just was able to walk in armed to the teeth, unobstructed, through an unlocked door.
Purchased his guns legally, underwent, you know, the background checks.
No sign of mental illness.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a tough situation to try to think about what could have been done to prevent something like this. And what I keep landing on, what I keep coming back to, and I don't understand why this is considered controversial or considered something that is just too complicated for us to figure out, is school security.
Yep.
We have to harden our schools. There is one common denominator with all these school shootings, and they happen at schools.
I was just listening to something earlier this week. It was another podcast, and there was somebody there with knowledge of the situation in Israel, and I think that Israel has armed security in their schools, and they haven't had a school shooting since 1974, mm-hmm. like a mass shooting like this. And, mm-hmm. you know, this Texas one, if I recall correctly, with the Parkland shooting in Florida, did we also not have an issue with the law enforcement response? There later on found out there was some questions about how they how they handled it. That this, you know,
and law enforcement, you know, members were disciplined,
right?
You know, appropriately. Consequences were meted out, and I've said it on the show yesterday, and I will say it again. You know, a full investigation, I'm sure, is already underway as to how these police officers handled themselves in this situation and the decisions that they made. And if it turns out that they were negligent in some fashion, fire them. This is not complicated,
right?
And it's not controversial either.
Well, and I know it's Rich coming from the conservative news talk host, but we need to be able to have both sides are going to need to be able to have a discussion on here to come to some sort of conclusion on what we can do, because it is now devolving, it is now spiraling into another just political divide, partisan issue on this, and that shouldn't be the case. At the same time, you do kind of sit back and. I sit back and I examine this and I kind of scratch my head going, man, okay, we know that the schools are vulnerable. We know that this is happening at schools and we've talked about this. We know that the angst among young men, we've talked, you know, right, is certainly growing. The individuals, that are perpetuating this. We know about the fact that this potentially could be happening because of the connectivity that people have and just the anger among individuals. And yet we seem to be dropping back in terms of security. That's the part that I don't get. I'm being really convoluted, but why are we going with less security,
right,
and not more security? The whole thing reminds me of, and I'll use the example of the story that I keep going back to you because I just think it works. In Santa Monica, California, where they stopped delivering mail on a certain block because there was an individual on that block that was attacking the postman.
Right.
So they just stopped delivering mail there as opposed to going after the perpetrator.
Right.
You know, and getting
rid of it. Punish people who have done nothing wrong.
Right.
Punish people who have followed the law in order to prevent the one bad guy, you know, from doing something again. Well, I'm sick of that response.
And the hypocrisy of, you know, the group of elected officials right now and on the left that are advocating for more gun control, which I still don't understand what law they thought would be in place that would stop these types of mass shootings, because criminals
don't follow
the laws.
Law.
You know, I mean, when we had prohibition in this country, it wasn't like people didn't have booze,
right?
But it's this,
I believe hard drugs are still illegal in this country.
Yes, I believe so.
And there are a lot of people still do them. Apparently.
Yes, they do. But
including Hunter Biden.
Right. But this is the same group of people that, you know, 2 years ago in the wake of George Floyd's death were screaming about taking any police officers that were in schools, taking them out of schools and making the schools less safe.
Yep.
So I don't understand.
Yep.
You know,
feel free. One of our liberal listeners, please call in 651-989-5855 and correct me here. But it seems to me that the current stance of the mainstream left is that hardening our schools and providing more security is impossible. It is an impossible solution. There's no possible way we could ever figure out how to make our schools more secure. But we certainly can go take every AR-15 from every legal gun owner, and that's going to go fine.
Right.
Like, that's going to go swimmingly.
Well, and also,
we're going to pull that off without a hitch. It's not going to cost any money.
Right.
Nobody's going to get hurt. It's just going to go, it's real easy peasy, guys. Why don't we just go and take every AR-15 from every legal gun owner who has never hurt anybody and never broken a law? It's simple, right? But adding a cop to a school, whoa, settle down there, crazy guy.
Right. And keep in mind, too, the Democrats have, on occasion, had control of the White House, the Congress, and a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate as recently as 2009. Mm-hmm. They have had opportunities to do something on this that they always claimed for, you know, the desire for action, and they don't. What they want to have it is use it as a political tool to try to keep themselves in power.
Let's go and talk with Rick in Madison while Eric Lucero gets himself comfortable.
Go ahead, Rick. Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Morning, fellas. You know, I don't understand why this is such a hard lesson to be learned. We learned from 9/11. We didn't ban the planes. We secured the cockpit. Why aren't every one of these school districts implementing a plan to lock the doors when that bell rings?
What's...
You know, we continue to go on this. Well, what can we learn? What can we learn? Well, we learned that every one of these shooters have entered through an unlocked remote door.
Well, let's
Why don't we lock all doors? Like you said, you touched on it, except for one door, a main door. That's the of all the things to do, simple.
But thanks for the call, Rick. And I want to take what you said, and I want to back up. I want to back up even further, and I'll use this example, because why can't we? Well, we can't because we can't have both sides seem to not be able to talk to each other and come to agreements on things. And I'll speak for myself. If anybody wants to chime in, you're welcome to, but I'll just speak for me. Okay, and I'm going to use this example. January 6th shouldn't have happened. People should not have gone to the Capitol. Okay? I thought that day, when it started happening, I'm like, people should not be doing this, right? That event should not have taken place. And honestly, I don't care if people sauntered in to the Capitol. It shouldn't have happened for an abundance of reasons. That's not how things should work in this country. That was a bad day, and it shouldn't have happened. Now, I'll disagree with motivations and the severity of it and labeling of it. But at the same time, I'll agree with any liberal if they ask me, do you think the January 6th event at the Capitol should have happened? I'll say, no, absolutely not. It shouldn't have happened. But you know what I'll also say? The third precinct should not have been given up. Mm-hmm. Right? Chaz Chop should have never happened. We should never have allowed our cities to burn on end. Can we get anybody on the left, right? If you want to have a conversation, can we get anybody on the left to do the same thing beyond Tulsi Gabbard? Is that possible?
I'm not sure.
She seems to be the only person. Can we get anybody? I mean, we can find, and the left won't do it because they don't want to find that common ground. Because they don't want to ask that question. Because most conservatives and Republicans that I know, if you ask them about January 6th, they're going to tell you the same thing, in my opinion, that no, people should not have marched on the Capitol. We can argue over the nuances of motivation, but people should not have marched to the Capitol and should not have gone in the way that they did. But if we're going to be able to have this conversation, let's talk about that, and let's also talk about all the other horrible things that are also
right. Very
much like that event that day.
And a lot of those things were done with the blessings of elected leadership in the cities where they happened. Chaz Chop would not have happened without the blessings of the elected leadership in Seattle and Portland. The George Floyd Square would not have been occupied and out of our government's control for months and months and months if it weren't for the blessings of Jacob Fry and the city council. The third precinct would not have burned. I mean, we know that. That was an intentional decision to give up, to cede the third precinct. None of those things would have happened. One of the problems why we can't find common ground is that the left has done such a good job of demonizing Republicans and conservatives. We are not humans. We're murderers. We're terrible. We're Nazis. We are all of the worst things in the world. They have all called people on the right that. So to find common ground with a Nazi? Really? You want to find common ground with a murderer? The first Democrat. I mean, look at how they treat Manchin. Look at how they treat Sinema. Look at the things they say about Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah.
Look at the things they say about those people on the left, about the Democrats, that actually do try to reach out and find some common ground and negotiate and compromise. You're compromising with a Nazi. You're compromising with a murderer. Why would you do that? I mean, they salt the earth around them, so no, it can't happen while that loud, radical portion of the left is the most mainstream voice.
I might listen to you for a moment if you want to go and argue with me that Trump inspired individuals on January 6th. I'll have a conversation with you if you're willing to go and talk to me about how Maxine Waters
right. It
encouraged individuals to get in the faces of people, and I'll consult the list that I keep in my folder of all of the horrible things and the horrible comments and advocating of violence that have taken place from liberals. Mm-hmm. We can have that conversation, but if you're going to be a hypocrite, I'm sorry. Yeah. How are we going to have a discussion or come to any sort of conclusions? Good morning, Eric Lucero.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Came in on a fired up segment.
Yes, absolutely. Always a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, so good, nice to have you. Been a minute since we've had you in for the round table. Now the legislative session is over. I'm sure you're very
taking relieved. A breather. Sure, or at least I thought it was going to be a breather this week.
Yeah, you thinking you might be called back into a special session?
Well, I don't. You know, as we've all been hearing, mixed signals on that. The governor, in advance of the end of this session, was saying that he is not going to call one in. Then the deal fell apart, and now there's calls for a special session by legislative leaders, or not leaders, but individual members. Right. And so I guess I sincerely hope we do not have a special session, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Government's fully funded.
What would be the point of one?
Yeah, exactly. Government is fully funded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And except for there are a few issues that could be addressed. they certainly, the vast majority are wants, not needs.
And it sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me on those handful of issues that could be addressed, there appear to be a couple of sticking points that neither side really wants to move on.
Yes, exactly.
Specifically like Zuckerbucks.
Right? Yep.
You know, that was something that Governor Walz made a specific call to a legislator and said, you know, end negotiations, yep. Walk away because of these items. And one of those items was Zuckerbucks.
That happened to be our senator, by the way.
Yeah.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, what would be...
I'm sorry. That wasn't... The call from the governor wasn't to Senator Kiffmeyer. No, just for those who aren't aware.
She was in the video.
Yes, exactly.
Where the Representative Nelson...
Yes, chair...
Got the call from Governor Walz and said, "End it, walk away, end negotiations." So, I mean, if they're going to be dig their heels in the ground on something like Zuckerbucks, I mean, the Republicans aren't in a position where they're going to budge on that. From
exactly.
What I've been able to see and from what I've been able to hear,
so. Another issue is deep, meaningful, permanent tax cuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Not Walz checks.
Not a third going back to the taxpayers. But right. You know, you guys did get the two things done that you really needed to get done, in my opinion. You got the liquor reform bill done, which has been 6 years in the making.
We had Representative Jim Nash on the show, yep. Yesterday talking about that.
And you got the CBD hemp bill done that allows for CBD to be put into food and beverage products like other states do. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a workaround to get around the FDA, who's perpetually studying the issue of efficacy of CBD. So that will help not only our CBD producers, but also the craft beverage manufacturers, because now you can do like CBD sparkling water and non-alcoholic beverages.
That was we've got information on that actually from some CBD producers that I've got some questions about. So maybe we'll dive.
Yeah, things don't seem quite as rosy
as they appear on the surface.
Once you get into sort of the nuances of that, it seems like there'd be some benefits for some, but it may be very harmful for others. So we may have to spend some time on that a little bit later on as well.
Well, and then as I walked in, you guys obviously were talking about the top news story of the week. And one of the comments, I'll just address what Drew said, is in regards to the conversation. We're no longer in this country, the vast majority, when it comes to Democrats or Republicans, it's no longer, you know what? You're wrong, but I mm-hmm. can acknowledge you're still a human being.
Right.
We disagree. Other side, yeah. Unfortunately, what they say is, you are evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're evil.
Yeah.
Whereas, for the most part, Republicans towards Democrats are, you know what, you're wrong. You're not evil. You're just wrong.
I want to, and we got a break here because we got Representative Emmer coming up in the next segment. But, you know, the Chuck Schumer, I mean, the Senate, in the said on the Senate floor that there is not enough blood of children that can be spilled to satiate these Republicans. I'm paraphrasing. It was something along yes. those lines. Like, the Republicans want more blood spilled. Chuck Schumer said that. Do you get more mainstream Democrat than Chuck Schumer? That is the main. That
exactly.
is the position of the mainstream Democrats, that
exactly.
the Republicans want dead children. How are we ever supposed to talk to somebody
exactly.
when that's the position that they're taking?
Coming up, we will talk with Representative Tom Emmer. American sovereignty will be on the line. Most Americans aren't even aware of it. In early January, the Biden administration sent the global bureaucrats at the World Health Organization a set of proposed amendments to the international health regulations to be considered by the WHO at the UN. We will get the details on this with Tom Emmer next.
The Memorial Day sale is going on now at Ashley. Summer styles are just around the corner with 20 to 50% off. Plus, get 60 months no interest financing. With no minimum purchase. Find deep, restful, life-changing sleep with Tempur-Pedic and save up to $500 on select Tempur-Pedic adjustable sets. Plus, get 5 years no interest financing. Don't miss summer inspiration and new summer styles during the Memorial Day sale. Happening now at Ashley.
Financing is available with approved credit on qualifying purchases. Ask store for details.
Radio.
You know, there's a tweet here. Welcome back to Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk. I have Eric Lucero and Jeff O'Brien in for the round table and Representative Tom Emmer on deck. Just real quick, incorrigible friend of the show says, I don't like to say this, but until the left will see conservatives as real humans, then nothing can get done. And again, I want to clarify on that too. I don't believe that's all of the left, but unfortunately what we see,
yep.
what gets perpetuated, you know, and again, this sounds like, you know, the John anti-internet morning, and I'm not trying to be that way. The internet brings us a lot of wonderful things, but the small in size minor, you know, the minority in size voices seem to be the ones that are elevated the most, and those are the voices that are perpetuating so much of this, and why I just feel like we can't bridge the divide, even when it comes to trying to solve problems like protecting our most vulnerable in schools.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. Very pleased to welcome to the program for his regular Friday visit, Representative Tom Emmer. Good morning, sir. I'm going to start off by, give you an opportunity. We haven't had a chance to speak since this terrible tragedy in Texas. So I figured we'd start off, give you an opportunity to make a comment on what happened in Uvalde.
Yeah, no, I've said so far all I'm going to say about it. It is every parent's worst nightmare, no question. And you guys have to be the same as all of us, unless you're just dead to the world. Every time you watch this, you read about what happened, it brings tears to your eyes for those families and those children. But look, guys, we've got a media that races to the front of the story rather than reporting or getting to the bottom of the story. We need a lot of facts still. We got to understand, exactly how he secured the weapons that he had. What was the timeline exactly? Why weren't things done? There's a lot yet to be revealed. But the saddest part of this is the depravity of the soul of that young man who committed this horrific act. And we're going to have to be much better at identifying people who have this type of mental illness. Families, friends, neighbors have to start speaking up and, trying to help these people before they do these awful things. But there's a lot left to go yet, guys, and I'm afraid that our entertainment news media is just feeding on this as opposed to, helping us get all the facts and the details so that something actually constructive can be done.
Well, I think that drives home the point, too, that the event is over. It's not going to bring back those that were lost. Our prayers need to be with those family members. The shooter is dead. He's no longer a threat. And now isn't the time to be irrational. Now is the time to, let's work through the details of what happened to figure out, possible solutions and not rush to any judgment in any way, shape, or form until this has been thoroughly vetted and gone through from all different aspects. But to your point, Tom, it doesn't happen within our mainstream media, unfortunately, because that doesn't drive views and clicks. People being rational and acting rational doesn't do that, unfortunately, in society right now.
No, you're right. And John, I was talking to a colleague, a first-term colleague from the Miami area. His name is Carlos Jimenez. Carlos was the mayor of Miami-Dade County, which is about 17 miles from the site of the Parkland High School shooting. And he was telling me last night that what they did immediately when this happened, he said the way you take care of this is you put an armed police officer in every school. You harden all the schools, which he said the state had already done. They had given money to, solidify the entrances to the school so that there's only one point of entry, that you have to check in, you have to check out. You put an armed police officer on the premises in addition to the school service officer. So, if you have this kind of thing, they've got to go through one, then they've got to go through two people before they ever get into the school. And he said then he had teams of trained peace officers that were aggressive, was his term. We don't wait. We actually go after this and make sure that if it is happening, it doesn't continue. And he said it cost him some money. But he didn't care. He, the public, he said, well, how much do you value one child's life? And nobody objected. And he said, the results speak for themselves. So this is the kind of thing that you're talking about, John. Thoughtful. Wait till you get all the facts, figure out what was done, what wasn't done, and address those facts because, you can go right after the political issue, but keep in mind some of the strictest gun laws in America can be found in some of our biggest cities like Chicago and These people will find a way to get those weapons. We got to figure out substantive methods to protect ourselves, our children, and frankly, people who want to be peaceful, law-abiding citizens in our communities.
And I agree with everything you just said, and I would just add, and let's try to figure out what is happening to the young people in America that is causing them to go down these dark paths. There's a conversation, and there is a lot to be learned there, and I just don't feel like enough people are looking into that aspect of it. I do want to shift gears with the few minutes that we have you for the program here. A lot of listeners have written in about this, and we've been waiting to talk with you about it. American sovereignty will be on the line next week, according to this article from Real Clear Politics, and most Americans aren't even aware of it. And they're talking about the Biden administration sending the global bureaucrats at the World Health Organization a set of proposed amendments that would essentially give the WHO, give the WHO, more power and reduce member nations' rights to make their own decisions. What's happening with this, and what can Congress do to pump the brakes on it?
Hey, guys, have we had enough of these unelected bureaucrats who try to tell us how we should best be taking care of ourselves?
Yes.
are we about ready to start exercising our God-given freedoms
yes.
and make the decisions that we believe are best for ourselves and our family instead of having these self-appointed morons tell us that, oh, by the way, the science says, which their science seems to be governed by nothing more than the real clear politics polling averages that are out there. Look, the COVID pandemic exposed what an ineffective, bureaucratic nightmare the World Health Organization really is. And I wouldn't stop there. Throw in the CDC. The Center for Disease Control is completely a political, partisan operation at this point that, in my mind, has lost all credibility to tell Americans what we should and shouldn't do. I would also throw Bob Malcolm in that pot of bureaucratic nonsense. And you've got state legislators with you there today that probably can talk about that firsthand. And as I understand it, the amendments, there are amendments that we've all heard concerns about. These amendments were drafted to keep countries like China and Russia from hiding future pandemics. But the problem is, one, it's not clear whether these amendments drafted by U.S. bureaucrats will actually be ratified or enforced. More importantly, they could ultimately, if they are passed, be used against us in the United States. So for me, I support legislation to defund the World Health Organization because, again, I think it's clearly an organization beyond repair. If it's not totally defunded, we've also called for removal of the World Health Organization Director General and an investigation into its abysmal handling of COVID before any taxpayer dollars are ever sent to that god-awful organization again. So I don't know that I can be any more direct than that, gentlemen.
Well, is this something that, you know, Congress can intervene on, or is this something that, you know, the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi's House, are just going to let it happen, and hopefully we'll get enough Republicans elected the next time, you know, in this upcoming election to put a stop to it? I mean, where is this going?
Both. I mean, here's the deal. You can't stop them. You're in the minority. The Democrats could stop them if they wanted to. Like I said, the best avenue that we have is to stop sending money to the World Health Organization. Stop participating. Oh, and I know there's going to be a lot of daisies out there that are like, oh, no, but then if we don't participate, we're not part of the world. Yeah, we are. We need to lead. This is the problem. We don't follow. We should be leading here in the United States. And not taking it from some unelected bureaucracy off our shores. My goodness, this is so the first thing is, yes, they can allow this to proceed. Andrew, there isn't a lot that Republicans can do except continue to raise the alarm as to what they're doing, which is shipping your freedom and my freedom overseas to others outside of the United States. When Republicans take back control, first off, you defund. You take away any dollars that are going to the World Health Organization. And second, you once you have subpoena authority, you start to convene real investigations as to why this World Health Organization failed so miserably during the pandemic. And who are they working for? Were they actually working for all of the citizens of this this globe, or were they working for the communist Chinese and helping them cover up one of the most despicable things, if ultimately proven out, one of the most despicable things that anybody has ever allowed to occur on the planet. So the answer is twofold. Yes, they can allow it to proceed, but also once we take control, we can cut off the spigot of their funding and start to look at them in more detail.
I dig it. All right, Tom, thank you so much. Good to chat with you. Have a great weekend, and we will catch up with you next week.
You guys too.
Take care.
Coming up, Liz Collin from Alpha News has a new report up, exclusive. Walls's policy, that would be Governor Tim Walz.
Yep. You know, curious. Tim Jong Walz.
His policies prevented landlords from evicting tenants who piled feces in their home. We'll give you the gross details about this coming up on Justice and Drew.
1 hour from now, we will find out who the champion of the news is for the week. Representative Eric Lucero, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, or Brett.
Wow, why are you so down on Brett?
I believe I'm a three-time back-to-back-to-back champion.
No, you've been doing really well. You've been doing good. So this is going to probably, most likely, looks like it's going to be Brett's final day as a temp on a Friday, at least. He'll be in on Tuesday, but a new guy's starting next week. So possibly Brett's final news quiz, at least until he fills in for the new guy.
Until eventually that'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you say Brett has filled the shoes of Samantha?
No. Those are far too big.
Okay.
I don't think anybody could fill the shoes of Samantha, but he has done an admirable job, and we very much appreciate it. I give him a hard time on the air, but he's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
This is pretty great.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll just leave it.
I like Brett.
You've done a great job, Brett.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll just take it, you know? I won't try to qualify it at all. That's fine.
I haven't looked. Is the new guy still in there, or did he leave?
He took off like
he's
hour.
He's like, I'm out of here.
I'm just kidding. He left.
Oh,
there he is. All right, yeah.
He's tall.
Yeah.
Tall.
He is. I thought he was standing on something there for a moment.
Large human.
So what are we calling the new guy?
Large human.
Large human.
That's his call sign now. Large human. You're stuck with it. We'll do it like they do in Top Gun. You've landed on your call sign. Large human.
Large human. Robbie.
Robbie. Okay.
New guy. Yeah. But we'll learn more about Robbie next
week. Yeah.
When he's actually official and starting and in there. We'll spend some time with Robbie.
With
large humor.
Really off to a flying start with Robbie. Right? Just first thing you say, large humor.
I'll tell you what.
Way to go.
It's just an observation. It's not a judgment.
Call me bald.
I'm also a large human.
Apart from actually, you know, getting a permanent replacement and producer, I'll tell you the thing that I was most excited by was in the introductory email yesterday when Bossman was like, for many, many years to come. And I was like, cool. I think I'm included in that.
Yeah. Right.
Awesome. I was like, hey, I'm glad that was
that's vintage John, right?
That was a good rosy outcome there.
That's vintage John.
You're like, that's binding. That's binding.
That's binding.
John gets an email from the boss announcing a new hire, and he's like, what is about me? What in here can I make about me?
No, I just saw, you know, you can produce for Justice and Drew for many, many years to come. Jeff, that's why I called you yesterday. I was curious if it was binding. Because Jeff knows the only time I ever call him is when I have a legal question. What do you want, John?
Jeff, if I reply to this, does that count as a contract?
What's your problem now?
It is in writing, so.
Speaking of contracts, just real quick, I know we have more serious stuff to get into, but this is cracking me up. And Drew, you haven't seen this yet. So several weeks ago now, actually it was the last week that Sam was here, we did a week of fill-in at WIOD in Florida. And we're covering all the nonsense that was going on with Disney and DeSantis and all that. And we covered a story talking about copyright and public domain and how, you know, Disney's been able to continue to own, you know, their intellectual property, their entities, long past what it was originally intended for. I think it was like 40 years or something like that until something lapsed into public domain, and Disney's been doing it for a lot longer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so some of these, however, some of these are public domain. Some of the things that are beloved to Disney, right, including Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh is in the public domain. Drew, have you seen this yet? Have you seen what's coming out?
Uh-huh.
So A.A. Milne's original Winnie the Pooh stories only lapsed into the public domain 5 months ago. But the tubby little cubby has already made his foray into slasher films.
Yes.
Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey,
yes.
wrapped earlier this month. The first stills show a demonic poo and piglet about to pounce on a scantily clad young woman relaxing in a hot tub, having already set the internet on fire.
I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, according to the director who wrote and the individual who wrote and co-produced the film, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, we'll see Pooh and Piglet.
Blood and Honey.
They'll see Pooh and Piglet as the main villains going on a rampage after being abandoned by a college-bound Christopher Robin. Christopher Robin is pulled away from them, and he's not given them food. It's made Pooh and Piglet and their life quite difficult. So there you go. So this is what we can.
I was so confused because I've been the whole time you've been talking about it. I thought I sent that over in the prep this morning.
No,
I must have. I must have just said,
I saw you looking, and I was going to say something, but I'm not.
I was looking for the story, looking for the link because I was reading that story this morning. I thought I included it in the prep, but I must have neglected to put that in the email. But I think it's great. You know, I think it's fun. Obviously, not for kids. You know, obviously not something. Your kids aren't going to be tricked into going to see a Winnie the Pooh movie and end up watching a slasher film by mistake.
And you don't have to watch it.
And exactly. I mean, I think it's fun to have, you know, some creative license with longtime characters like that and do some things that are different. I think it's creative and fun. I love it.
Well, and by
I'd go see a Winnie the Pooh slasher flick right now. I'd leave the show and let you finish out just to go see it.
Well, and go ahead.
Well, to say back to Disney.
Yeah.
Do you think that the recent events of Disney are going to bring that to an end, and those will eventually be? There won't be an extension the next time it's up.
I haven't heard a follow-up on what's been happening with the Reedy Creek Development District and if there's still controversy going on there. My understanding from what I'd seen most recently was that a lot of that controversy had died down. Disney had taken a bit of a financial hit over a lot of this.
Oh, yeah.
And my expectation is a lot of this is going to die down and kind of fade away because I think Disney realized that there was a bit of stepping in it that took place.
Yeah, and if you look at the legislation on that Reedy Creek Development District, the new legislation that basically repealed the special tax, whatever the tax district, whatever it was, that doesn't kick in until next year. So when I read it, I'm like, oh, plenty of time for the mea culpa, and we're sorry, and we won't do this anymore, and then it, you know, comes off the book.
It is in effect. I mean, they passed it. It's happening.
Yeah, they passed it, but it could also be repealed before it actually goes into effect.
You're right. And I said this at the time when we were talking about it the week that it was going on. It seems like a really smart move. Regardless, you take out the politics, you take out the whole DeSantis versus Disney fight. Look, if you're going to have this district's been in place for 50 plus years, right? What's wrong with taking a fresh look at it and seeing if the terms of this deal still make sense? And to me, that's the game here. DeSantis is doing political posturing, as anybody should. But I think the real game is you're right, there's a year before it actually takes place. That is ample time to sit down and look at the terms of the deal and see which aspects make sense, which aspects don't, renegotiate, and come to a new deal. And in my opinion, that's going to be the eventual
outcome. Yeah, I mean, aside from, there's you can say what you want about the decision to do it now in response to Disney criticizing the other legislation. But when I heard about it from a real estate, you know, because I do some real estate stuff, I'm like, this sounds like it was put in place to build the damn park, and why is it still around? And now they've basically, I didn't know that Disney had an autonomous zone in the middle of Florida.
They do. It's a self-governing autonomous zone. But back to Representative Lucero's comment and question regarding the copyrights of things. Yeah.
A federal level.
I do think that a lot of what's obviously a lot's going to hinge on what happens in this election and what Congress looks like going forward. But absolutely, Disney, and they're not the only company, Disney's gotten very special treatment in terms of the extensions of their copyrights, well beyond what's been afforded to content creators, or, you know, any other content creator in this country. And they shouldn't. I mean, I know they're huge, and I know they're special, and I know they hold a special place in people's hearts, and every child, you know, has some Disney moment memory that is precious to them. But that's not enough for them.
Why should they be afforded a continued carve out?
Right. Yeah, because with with copyrights and with patents, the idea behind it is you're getting a monopoly for a period of time against your competition,
exactly.
But it's supposed to expire. You know, patents have a sunset, as do copyrights. And what they're doing is granting special privileges to the Disney Corporation to give them more than what everybody else is entitled to.
Well, and into what we said earlier, like about the Winnie the Pooh slasher movie, you can decide whether or not you're going to go and watch it. I don't particularly find, like, parodies of Star Wars, right? Of numerous types. And I don't really get enjoyment out of them, you know? And that's just kind of my... So I don't watch them. You know, I'm on Disney Plus. I'm not going to watch, like, the Family Guy parodies and all that. I'm sure they're funny, but that's just... I don't get a kick out of that. It's just a very benign level. But I'm just saying, it doesn't bother me. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care that there's parodies of them out there. I just choose not to watch them.
One of my favorite Star Wars parodies is on YouTube. Chad Vader, Night Shift Men.
Yeah, I've actually have watched that. Yeah. That is pretty funny.
That is good.
Well, and it's fascinating, too, because you're already starting, since we're here and we're almost out of time, so you're already starting to see what I think is a societal course correction on a lot of the political correctness / wokeness that's been injected in so many things. To the same notion, you don't have to watch these things if you don't want to.
Right.
If you don't want to watch the new woke version of Cinderella on Amazon, you don't have to. And at the same time, if you're thinking, wow, there's really injecting so much agenda in this kind of stuff, well, you know what? These intellectual properties, these corporations are going to find out pretty quick whether or not people actually have an appetite for them. And we've seen this happen with Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Disney lost a ton of money in their stock. There's a story that we haven't had a chance to cover, which actually I thought was really fascinating. Walmart apologized earlier this week for releasing a Juneteenth-themed ice cream after woke backlash from critics on social media. And what I found fascinating about this was that individuals and proponents of Juneteenth, the holiday, were upset that there was marketing taking place over this. And I was like, that's really, really fascinating to me.
But I have to know, what flavor is Juneteenth?
What was Juneteenth? Let's see. Celebration ice cream released by Great Value Brand. A red velvet cheesecake flavor was created to match the celebratory red, yellow, green, and black colors used for Juneteenth. Unfortunately, they got a lot of pushback because they saw the commercialism and marketing in it, and there was a group out there that was upset. And I was like, you know what? Good on that. Because there was an acknowledgement here of capitalizing on it. Because corporations have been capitalizing on this stuff.
Sure. And I don't blame them. Because, this one obviously failed. But it's worked a million
times. Oh, sure.
I mean, there's so many cynical examples of
placating.
Putting out, you know, some salad dressing and sticking a flag on it or something. And like, we're supporting Pride Month or whatever they happen to be doing.
Right.
You know, it's just dumb. It's very opportunistic, and I, you know, I always find it kind of silly virtue signaling. But it works a lot of the time, so I'm not surprised that somebody tried to make a Juneteenth ice cream and named it some kind of Kwanzaa gravy. I don't know what it would come out with next.
The market will course correct. You know, the market will decide. And if there's a market for these items, then people, you know, then they'll continue to make them. But if they're not, they won't. And we're absolutely seeing that. And one more quick point on that, Drew. I don't know if you picked up on this, but I thought that, you know, in our raving about Top Gun, there was a... I wasn't looking for any of it, but if you step back and look at the film, it was an incredibly diverse film, but did not beat your head over it at all.
No.
Like, it actually checked a lot of boxes without ever getting in your face about it.
Well, that's because it didn't shoehorn it in gratuitously.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
You know, you can make a diverse movie that celebrates all sorts of different things, but if you do it organically and it doesn't feel like you're just shoehorning it in just to check some boxes and make some woke people happy, then it works and nobody's going to complain about it. I mean, you could say the same thing about Doctor Strange.
Sure.
A couple of little moments in there that you could be like, ah, see, I see what you're doing there. But it didn't feel like it was like shoehorned in gratuitously.
All right, coming up, we will get to the WASP policies and the landlords evicting tenants and the disastrous effects that had. Also, Democratic senator is facing an ethics complaint for attempting to enrich a friendly nonprofit. Plus, the Friday news quiz here on Twin Cities.